I believe in miracles.
Don't say people. I'm doing business here, man.
I don't want anybody tells you words and ideas can change the world.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
90% of what you're saying ain't coming out of your mouth.
From failing, you learn. From success, not so much.
Keep moving forward.
Welcome to the Small Business Miracles Podcast. I'm Jeff Randolph. This small business podcast is brought to you by EAG Advertising and Marketing. We're going to talk about marketing, and we're also here to celebrate entrepreneurs. We have marketing news and advice business owners can use to keep moving forward, plus a featured interview that's going to hit you right in the feels area. I'm excited to get to that featured entrepreneur interview, but first, let's get some marketing tips going. I'm joined right now by Paul Sage. Paul Sage is a marketing director at EAG Advertising Marketing. Paul, welcome. This is your first time on the podcast.
First time.
Man, not the last. I'll guarantee you that.
I hope not.
No.
I love the microphone.
The microphone loves you.
Let's be honest.
The microphone loves you. This is a portion of our show where we talk tips for business owners. And there's this tendency, I think, as business owners to look at what the giant brands are doing and say, you know, hey, we're going to do that. We're going to go there. We're going to do exactly what they do. Is that a thing we can do anymore? Or is that just a bad idea at this point?
For the most part, a bad idea. Because what giant brands do is they spend a lot of money typically to go to a very broad audience. And what small businesses do is typically they don't have the money and they don't have as broad an audience, at least in terms of geography,
mm-hmm.
often in times in terms of what business they represent and who their customers are. Of course, at EAG, a lot of our clients are business-to-business customers,
mm-hmm.
and they're not selling something that has a retail store or an online website where everybody wants to buy it. They're selling a unique product or service that's geared toward only certain businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is not to do what the big guys do. You're not going to be on television, often not on radio or in mass print. You're going to be in very specialized digital advertising,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to be doing events and special communications to a select base of customers that are going to want to listen to what you're saying and are going to have special needs and speak a language that you can speak to them that's unique to their industry.
So there's so much going on in what we just said. Like there's a lot to unpack there. That's
yeah.
I can't just look at Amazon and say, hey, they do all of this, and you don't know what Amazon is doing at a trade show. Most of us don't know what Amazon is doing at a trade show.
Correct.
So we don't necessarily have that background to look on. But we also don't have Amazon's, what do they call it? Budget.
Correct.
Like we don't have a budget that we could work with like the big guys. So yeah, you do have to be more specialized and more focused on here's what's going to work for me.
And that gives you those unique advantages.
Mm-hmm.
You can be local. You can speak a very specific language, both locally and industrially, that the big guys never can because they're trying to appeal to too many people.
And I think I may have even noticed that when a bigger player tries to have that local
mm-hmm.
flavor where they, you know, they say, you know, we're here in your local neighborhood. We're your neighborhood choice or whatever.
Right.
And you just know they're not.
It becomes a your name here.
Yeah.
They're going to substitute a name of a Seattle suburb for a Kansas City suburb. Well, it doesn't ring true.
Especially when the people doing the advertising are from somewhere entirely different and say, let's see, well, there's an E on that. I wonder how they pronounce it. And they just totally get the name of the suburb wrong.
Correct.
That's my favorite.
And they don't, yeah, they hear cliches or something and try to apply those to your local market. They don't work. And your customers are going to sniff that out very quickly.
Yeah, that local aspect. The local.
Genuine. You get the chance to be genuine because you are genuine and because your customers and the people in your community know you.
Yeah. So is it, I mean, we wouldn't say it's a bad idea to follow the example of what a big brand or big advertiser is doing all the time. Like there are some good ideas out there. We can, there are definitely things we could pick up from them.
Absolutely.
But it's not your core. I think that's one of the arguments
you're
making.
There are best practices in all of the digital analytics and all of the audience reach that will help you not waste your money and help you target that audience even better than before. But in terms of the overall approach, You can't do it. Mm-hmm. You can't run one TV ad. You can't run, which is all your budget might afford you. Can't do the things that they do. But you can, as they used to say in baseball, hit them where they ain't.
Because
they're never going to be as locally connected or connected to your specific niche audience that a local or smaller business will have.
That's absolutely true. And because you're the only one who can say that, you really should. Mm-hmm. That's a very mm-hmm. good thing. You can be friendly. You can be yourself. You can be unique. You can have all of those things.
Right.
Paul, thanks for being with us on the show.
You're welcome, Jeff. I will be back again, I hope.
You're darn right you will.
Thank you.
Our featured guest today is Crystal Webster with Sharing Solace. Crystal, welcome.
Hi.
We're so happy to have you here today.
I'm so excited to be here.
Man, we got the headphones on, mics set, everything's ready to go. You are the co-founder of Sharing Solace. Just give us an overview of the business. What is Sharing Solace? What do you do? All that.
So our mission is to help grievers grieve and lovers love their griever.
Oh, there's no end of soundbite there. I love it.
We do that a couple different ways, but the way that really pulls at my heartstrings is through technology elevated pass alongable gifts.
Oh, okay. Let's break that down a little bit.
Okay.
Let's walk through all of the things that means.
So that's basically a fancy way to say we make pretty things for sad people.
Oh, gosh. It's a heavy topic, but it's a very light conversation and you approach it in a very light way. That's a good thing.
I grew up with a family that had lots of ups and downs. Mm-hmm. And my mom always said, you can either laugh about it or you can cry about it. So why not laugh about it?
Let's
laugh about it.
Let us laugh. Okay, sorry, I took us off of the more about the business. So giftable tokens and what? Say more about that.
Okay. So really our flagship piece is a locket and a token set. Mm-hmm. And the idea, one is a necklace, the other is a keychain. They work the exact same way. The idea is that you keep them near your heart as mm-hmm. long as it brings you comfort. Cool. When it no longer brings you that same comfort, it symbolizes that you're ready to release that super debilitating, all-consuming grief. Mm-hmm. Now, you never get over your grief.
Right.
No matter who says you do, it's a bunch of BS.
It's still there.
It's still there. Yeah. You just learn to carry it better. Mm. But when you're ready to release that all-consuming grief, that's when you take out the middle token. Mm-hmm. You put that middle token into a new locket, and you pass it on to somebody else as a way to share some support with them.
Wow.
The backside of those middle tokens actually has a unique identifier on it mm-hmm. that allows you to register it on our website.
Okay.
So you can actually follow the middle token as it moves from person to person.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. That's the power of the network and the power of family and support and friends and caring that. Okay. Yes. I see exactly where you're going. That's powerful. How did you get to this? How did this idea come about? How did you get here?
My own personal story. Mm-hmm. 13 years ago, last month, my daughter, Madeline Elizabeth, was born. Mm-hmm. 8 hours later, she died in my arms. And I was rocked to my core. Mm-hmm. And I literally lived my life waiting to die for about 5 years. And at one point, I decided I either needed to live or die. Mm-hmm. And if we're being real honest, I was too chicken to do one. And so I'm sitting here in front of you today.
I think everyone who has a token to pass along is real happy that you did make the choice that you did.
Well, today I'm happy about that choice.
Yes, that is good. So the tokens on the site. When you're talking to someone that you've helped, what does that like? What have you heard from people that you know have made this and passed along?
the number one thing I hear is, I'm never going to pass this along, to be perfectly honest. They like the idea. They like the concept of, you know, maybe someday I will be in a better position that I will want to pass it on. They like the concept. They like the idea. But they're like, I'm never going to pass it on. But I have seen several people pass them on. And they're in a better place.
And as the as Sharing Solace as the company, you get to be there and kind of help everyone else make that happen. That has to be tremendously rewarding as a company, and born from a place that was great. So you're not just the business owner. You are also a grief, mindset, and resilience speaker and author and educator and mentor. You've done education and training. But when we just met briefly, you said you do that a little bit differently. Walk me through that. Put me in a room with you when you're doing speaking on this, because I assume everybody walks in to that room and you're expecting, you may be expecting one thing. You may be expecting that this is going to be an emotionally heavy moment, but you're doing things a little bit differently.
You expect solemn and and sad and, quiet. I am no stranger to four-letter words and irreverence. I love to tell jokes. There's actually research that says a dark sense of humor helps with resiliency.
Yeah.
And so I have a little bit of a dark sense of humor. I kind of always have, but it has come out in the last, say, 13 years.
Now it's a professional dark sense of humor.
Right,
like
yes.
You're doing it for professional reasons now.
Right. And again, growing up, my mom said, you're either going to laugh about it or you're going to cry about it. So let's laugh about it. And so, yes, we do cry.
Yeah.
Because that's the nature of the beast.
Sure.
But if we can laugh about it from time to time, let's do that too. And sometimes that happens in the same sentence.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And there's hugs and there's high fives and there's, all kinds of good things that happen in our room together.
I agree. I also think that, when the topic is serious, the jokes that when the appropriate or sometimes inappropriate joke shows up, it's that much more hilarious because everyone there is ready for levity in some way. And so they anxiously and eagerly participate in that joke where, normally we'd, it's a dad joke or whatever, and it's not hilarious. And not that dad jokes aren't hilarious, because I will stand by all of my dad jokes for all time. Irreverence and just kind of, showing some of the levity there. That's a great approach. I think people really appreciate that.
I think so too.
What's your favorite topic to talk about?
Journaling. Ooh. Actually.
I was going to ask a question about journaling. Oh. Because it's kind of like journaling for the non-journaler or accounting for non-accountants or whatever.
My two favorite topics.
I know. You're trying to find gratitude in 6 minutes a day. And is that I assume that's for everyone? I don't know. Like I think we all know journaling is supposed to do something for me, but I don't know if I'm exactly sure what it's supposed to do. So I think I'd be afraid to do it wrong. Tell me, what should I be doing in those 6 minutes a day? What is the purpose of it? What should I get out of that?
First of all, I don't think that you can do journaling wrong.
Oh, even better.
If you find benefit from it, then you're doing it right. The very first thing that I started to do when I decided I was going to start living and quit dying was journaling.
Okay.
And I literally spent 6 minutes a day, and I would write down three things that I was grateful for that day.
Okay.
And three things that I did right that day.
Oh.
And that was it.
Positive. Yeah. Okay.
And three make six.
Yeah.
And it took me less than a minute to write down, once I got good at it.
Right, right.
And I would try to just focus on the last 24 hours too, to stay present.
Right.
Which is also part of mindset.
And mindset. Okay.
Resilience and all that good stuff. And I call it bullet point journaling. And literally, my journal entries would be 2 inches long. And that That's all I would do.
For those of us who overthink literally everything in our world, hands up, all those who feel this way. How much am I looking back at all of those entries day by day and going, gosh, I'm terrible at this. I'm using the same, you know, first one every time. Shouldn't I be better at? Shouldn't I find more things to be grateful for, or you know, do I not repeat my answers all the time?
Well, and that's the luxury and goal of just looking back at the last 24 hours mm-hmm. is trying not to repeat yourself. Because honestly, I'm always grateful for the clothes on my back and you know, the car that got me here this morning and the roof over my head. And there are three things right there.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for those every single day. What I'm not grateful for every day, because it doesn't happen every day, is the stranger that held the door open for me, or the really good cup of coffee that I got to have.
Yeah.
Or the great sale at Target I found.
Oh, yes.
You okay. know, stuff like that. Material, super material stuff mm-hmm. is A-okay. You know, it doesn't have to be like life-changing from the sky, wonderful stuff.
Enough to change your mindset. Enough to help you focus on the good and not focus on you know, some of the negative things and get you into a negative self-talk spiral of some kind.
And same with the things you did right that day. Mm-hmm. I found, especially in the depths of my grief, is I would berate myself for everything. Mm. Everything. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't get out of bed before noon.
Yeah.
I didn't brush my teeth. I should have taken a shower. I should have done this. So if I brush my teeth that day, it went on my list. Mm-hmm. If I can berate myself for it, I can pat myself on the back for it too.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. So yes, perhaps journaling is for everyone, and I don't need to overthink that. That's I like that. This is a pretty good approach. Now, will I do it? That's the real question. That's the question.
Now, that I'm not sure I can help you with.
Well, somebody has to help me. Otherwise, I'm never going to make this happen.
Okay, well, I will text you every day.
from now on.
From now until the end of time.
And this is a nighttime ritual, or this is so that you have the whole day to work with, or you're just looking back at 24 hours, any 24-hour period that it fits into your life?
So I do it at night mm-hmm. because I do it literally right before I go to bed, because then that's what I'm thinking about when I go to bed.
Oh, yeah.
And I sleep better.
Oh, yeah.
And also, do it whenever you're going to do it.
Yeah. I am that way about exercise, that if I don't do it at 5 a.m., I'm not going to do it the rest of the day. Yep. So, yeah, as long as you find your place. Let me kind of come back to the company for a minute. And you're helping a lot of people. You're you know, helping move them forward, and you've got the topic of finding purpose in your pain, where tragedy happens and it can be truly debilitating to people, not getting out of bed before noon or not brushing your teeth and then feeling bad about not brushing your teeth. It may seem as though there's no meaning or no reason or no logic and there's nothing that is part of that is, you know, there is no purpose in that pain. How do you find meaning where none of that seems to exist? How do you find meaning?
One of my favorite quotes is, everything happens, you find the reason. Mm. Not everything happens for a reason. Everything happens, you find the reason. Mm. And I've come to that over the last 13 years with Madeline. And I think that that's something you're always working towards.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, obviously, my story is the loss of a child, an infant, infertility. We can, you know, I could laundry list you all the things. And the loss of a spouse is not just the loss of a spouse.
Right.
Or the loss of your pet is not just the loss of your pet. You know, there are dozens of things that you lose when you lose one thing.
Right.
You know.
Right.
I think you need to always kind of be looking for that purpose.
Mm.
But especially in my situation, in my story, I think parents think that they need to start a 5K or,
you know. I'll create a foundation.
I'll do a 5K. I'll start a golf tournament. Mm-hmm. I'll, you know, big, grandiose things. It doesn't have to be that. It just mm-hmm. has to speak to your heart. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I find, and that's kind of what I speak to in that, is find something that is meaningful to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Madeline never played golf. I picked up a golf club once, maybe, mm-hmm. at Top Golf because everybody else was doing it. Because
everybody else said, yeah, let's get a golf club.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that never really spoke mm-hmm. to me.
I like that, though, because it seems so much more approachable for everyone. It's mm-hmm. something that everyone could do. You can grab a token. You can, you know, you can pass that along to somebody else. And I think there's a lot too. The things that are approachable and everyone can do, like journaling, where you're right. I wouldn't know where to start a foundation or a golf tournament or whatever, other than, you know, well, a lot of people seem to do that. I'm mm-hmm. sure I could do it if it made sense at all in my context, but you know, even if we're, you know, journaling or getting, you know, through our pain just in our own daily life, that's a win. That's a real win, and it's approachable to everybody. Mm-hmm. I like it.
I mean, and if those things speak to your heart, then do, you know,
do
go
that.
To the moon.
Yes, whatever you're capable of.
Whatever that is, do that. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't speak to you, don't feel pressure. Don't should on yourself to do that.
Love it. Love it. It's perfect. I kind of want to transition into the lightning round. You said the word pressure, and the lightning round has so much pressure in it. Because there are no wrong. Here are the rules for the lightning round. There are no rules. Short
don't
sound.
Don't speak about lightning
no
round.
No one talks about lightning round after the end of lightning round. Short questions. They can be anything. There's no wrong answer. It's just what you're feeling. And I'm going to start it out this way. What is your guilty pleasure, I'm going to belt it out loud in the car, song that you're going to sing in the car? You cannot help yourself. You cannot change the station. This is going to be something that you sing out loud.
Anything by Stevie Nicks.
Ooh, okay. That's a lot of things. There are no deep cuts that you'd be like, no, no.
I'm not, I don't think so.
That's pretty good. Okay, that gives you a lot of things to work with. Stevie Nicks. Mm-hmm.
Stevie Nicks did a song for the Practical Magic soundtrack mm-hmm. titled Crystal. One of my favorites.
I mean, that just makes sense.
Yeah.
Thank you, Crystal Webster, with Sharing Solace. Crystal is somehow a song that you like. Fascinating. Huh. What's the best piece of advice you've ever gotten?
Don't take no for an answer.
Ooh. Was this an early piece of advice? This is a late piece of advice. When did that piece of advice come to you?
I honestly don't know.
Oh, so that my fear would
probably
be,
several times yeah. throughout the process.
Probably. My fear, you know, my fear is that, like, it's great advice. I think everyone wants that to take root years before it actually did. So that you just don't take no and keep going. Keep pushing for things.
Ooh, on that same note.
Yeah.
If you don't ask the question, the answer is no.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
If you got a 50-50 shot.
Yeah, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We all have off days. How do you turn yours around? You realize you're having an off day midway through. Maybe it's only by 10 a.m. How do you turn it around?
Sometimes I will just, I call them long sodas. Hmm. I go to Quick Trip because Quick Trip is the best.
Yeah, yeah.
Get the biggest Diet Coke they have.
Okay.
And just drive around until it's gone.
Oh, nice. Oh, and drive around and do it. So yeah. There's that. It's the combo. It's the mm-hmm. interesting.
Or sometimes I'll like go to the park mm-hmm. and just sit and watch the trees or the lake or whatever.
Mindfully devour a giant soda.
Yeah.
Love it. I personally am going to probably go toward the styrofoam container so that it stays cold just a little bit longer. But that's
mine doesn't last that long.
That's good. I'm going to give a blank check to Sharing Solace. What would you do with that blank check?
Ooh, work on one of my 3 projects right now that I can't speak about because I have NDAs.
That's good content for the podcast. We'll leave it at that. I'm gonna say look for more in the future from Sharing Solace. How do you celebrate a big win? Let's say one of those big projects comes to fruition that we can't talk about. How are you gonna celebrate that?
Let's go to the boats.
Ooh, really? Like casino boats? Like very excellent choice. Okay. And what's your game?
Super cheap blackjack.
Okay.
Like
live at the table or machine?
Live at the like
perfect.
$1, $5 blackjack.
Okay.
Or penny slots. But they have to be like an old TV show or a movie or something that I know and like.
Yes. Yes.
The Munsters or the Monkees are like my favorite.
Okay. I want the Mickey Dolenz triple spin for the win. Yeah. That's excellent. Okay. Yeah. Let's see. Let's wrap it up then. Where can people find you?
At the boats.
We're going to the boats.
We're going to the boats.
If somebody wanted to get in touch with you, learn more about what you're doing, and definitely go take you up on all of the, you know, and help with their own grief and find the tokens and pass those along and see where their tokens at in the future, where can people find you?
SharingSolace.com.
That's perfect. Crystal Webster, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me. This has been great.
That is our show. Thanks for listening to the Small Business Miracles podcast. If you heard anything in this week's show that has helped your personal situation or struggles, if it's resonated with you, please know that you're not alone. If Sharing Solace sounds like a way for you to carry your grief, please do check them out at sharingsolace.com. And for the podcast, remember to subscribe, leave us a 5-star rating and review, drop us a line on the website at eagadv.com if you have any thoughts. Until then, we'll be out here helping entrepreneurs with another small business miracle.